Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Now, as many of you know, I keep bringing this up, that this coming next Sunday is Friendship Sunday. And it's my prayer that some of you will have opportunity to invite a friend or a neighbor to come and worship so they can experience law and gospel preaching and worship in a traditional and liturgical context. And I also understand it's hard to invite friends and neighbors to come and join in worship because we're afraid. I'm sure you've all heard the story about the man who was invited to come to church, and he said, "I'm not going to go to that church. It's full of hypocrites." So the man who invited him said, "Come along anyway. We always have room for one more." Well, a hypocrite is defined as a person who puts on a false appearance of virtue or religion. And yes, it is true. Christ's church on earth is full of hypocrites. But at this stage, that is neither your problem nor mine. And we'll get back to that thought a little later in the sermon. Like last week's gospel, this morning we have another parable with a farming illustration. Last week's parable of the sower is a parable to the whole world. The sower is God, who sows his word generously and indiscriminately. He sows on the hard paths, on the rocky soil, and among the thorns, as well as the fertile soil. And while the hearts of some are fertile soil, there are others who just simply refuse to hear and receive God's word. Some receive the word with joy at first, but when trials and tribulations come, they forsake it. And still others have their faith scorched and choked out as they chase after the cares of the world. You see, Satan is always lurking about, hoping to snatch away the finest little seed of faith. Now, while the means in the parable might sound the same today, they're quite different than last week's. Today's parable is directed at you, brother and sister Christian, and to all Christians around the world. The parable tells of two sowers using two different seeds. God is the sower of the good seed. The good seed is all believers in Christ Jesus. In contrast, the other sower is Satan. He's the enemy and the sower of the evil and poisonous weeds. The weeds are the sons of the devil, the sinners and the hypocrites, and all the unbelievers around the world. The devil sneaks in and carefully plants his seed right amongst the believers, the weeds right amongst the wheat. And the weeds grow so closely to the wheat, the roots get all intertwined together, so that if you were to pull out a weed, you're liable to pull out a good stalk of wheat. Now, in this particular parable, the weed that is sown has a name. It's called darnel. And darnel grows in the same regions as wheat grows, and it has deep and strong roots. And it looks so much like wheat that in many areas they call it false wheat. And it's only after the grain, the head, appears on the stalk, the fruit arrives, that you can tell the difference between the weed and the wheat. The weeds are recognized for what they truly are. Yes, it is true, we have weeds in the church. The church has hypocrites who put on that false appearance of virtue while trying to live out their life of unbelief. There are many people who call themselves Christian who couldn't care less about God's commands, They have no interest in salvation through grace in Jesus. They don't believe that Jesus is God's only begotten Son and that he performed miracles and that he rose from the dead for their salvation. Now, some of these people were true believers at one time, but their faith was choked out by the desires and cares of the world. They only remain in church on Sundays because they probably just don't want to disappoint family members. They don't want to rock the boat. Others remain tolerating preaching and teaching so they can experience the social aspect of the church. They enjoy being around people and networking and discussion of social issues. And still, there are a few who are drawn to church because it's their place where they can exercise influence. In church is where they can be the big fish in the small pond. And believe it or not, pastors are not immune to this poisonous weed issue. There are even pastors who are weeds. If you're searching around online sometime, there's an online community called Project Clergy, where people from all sorts of religious backgrounds go to discuss the fact that they no longer believe in the supernatural. They no longer believe in God in heaven. They only remain, many of them remain preaching, and they only remain preaching because some cases they need a job. They need health care. Why should they go look for something different? Unfortunately, there are times each of us, you and me, we are the weeds in the congregation, the weeds in God's harvest field. All those times that you want to make exceptions to God's word to make your life go a little easier. Those times when you want to work around the truth to achieve your pleasure. You don't want to hear what God has to say on a certain subject because that might convict your heart. You want to put yourself first and exploit your neighbor rather than loving and trusting God above all things. And it's a different, difficult situation. How do we tell the difference between the weeds and the wheat? Well, the difference between the believer and the hypocrite, well, true believers will be shown by the fruits of their faith. The fruits that flow from faith in their Savior. While the hypocrites will be identified by the fruits of their pride and their works, their greed and self-indulgence. The believer stands on the objective truth of God's Word and the promises of God's Word as revealed in Holy Scripture. The hypocrite and the unbeliever will stand on their own subjective feelings, on the whims of culture, and whatever helps them fit in to society. A believer will be justified by Christ alone, but the hypocrite attempts to be justified by themselves, by their deeds and their works. Now, earlier I said that the hypocrites in the church are neither your problem nor mine. We need to notice the master in the parable this morning. He doesn't seem overly concerned or upset that the enemy has come and sown weeds right among his people. He's patient. He tells his servants, "Don't pull out the weeds, you might injure one of the stalks of wheat. Don't worry about it until harvest comes, and then I'll give that responsibility over to the reapers. They'll separate the wheat from the weeds, the believers from the unbelievers." You see, as we heard in the gradual this morning, I guess it was the intro, your heavenly Father, the master who is in the parable, he's patient. He's merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He doesn't work according to our timetable. He works according to his own timetable. He desires all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, for us sinners, that's a great comfort and encouragement. It should call each one of us to repentance and receive the forgiveness that God so graciously gives you in the divine service. It should strengthen us to endure the evil in the world patiently, knowing that Christ has died for all mankind, even for those weeds that you don't have any use for. Jesus loves them enough to die for them too. And by the grace of God, that person and all unbelievers will be brought to faith, that they will be regenerated from a weed into wheat. By the power of the Holy Spirit, all things are possible with God. Now, to be sure, there are many passages in Scripture that stress about throwing out the leaven and casting out the immoral person from the congregation. And we know in the office of the keys, the pastor is called to loose the sins of the forgiven and bind the sins of the unrepentant. But God's servants need to work patiently and carefully so that they might not cast out the hypocrite too quickly. First, that hypocrite needs to hear the truth spoken in Christian love, calling them to repentance and return to the Lord their God. He is patient and merciful, especially since you and I are those hypocrites. You see, since you and I are, we are hypocrites in our sin, but Jesus also declares you a saint in your baptism. Simultaneously, sinner and saint, because you and I are affected by original sin. And as we confess in the creed, it is Christ alone who has the authority to judge the living and the dead, giving final judgment. That's where the reapers in the parable come in. The reapers are God's angels who will gather the weeds first and bind them into bundles to be burned, but they gather the wheat into the master's barn. You have Jesus' promise. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is good news for the believer. As a believer in Christ Jesus, you can live in the faith of the forgiveness of sins that is given to you in your baptism and in your confession of sins, the forgiveness in the holy absolution. You can look forward to a new life without all the causes of sin and temptation, pain and sorrow. And on the last day, the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Jesus says, "He who has ears, let him hear." That means, listen up. Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Repent and believe in the gospel. God sows his good seed through the gospel, and it's God alone who can regenerate weeds into wheat. As a baptized and believing child of Christ, you are no longer a weed. You are wheat. You are God's chosen child. No, you cannot make yourself righteous. But gathering around word and sacrament here in the divine service, in the preaching of the gospel, the confession and absolution, in baptism and in God's holy supper, your faith is strengthened, your sins are forgiven, and you are bathed in the blood of Jesus. clothed in Christ's righteousness that shines like the sun. Unfortunately, yes, the church does have hypocrites. And there are times when that hypocrite is you and me. But as a believer in Jesus, the crucified and resurrected Savior of the world, you are simultaneously sinner, but yet a saint. In your old Adam, you're a sinner. But at the same time, you are a righteous child of God. God has put his name on you, that you belong to him. Through faith in Christ, and by the grace of God, and by the power of the blood that was spilt on Calvary's cross, you are declared not guilty of your sin, all for the sake of Jesus. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.